All right. Sorry, Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Yud Aleph Amud Beis. A little more than halfway down, about 53% down the page. First word on the line is Pirkin. Right. So, last time we basically addressed at length the different halachic aspects of Birkas HaTorah, what obligates Birkas HaTorah, etc. Now, the Gemara, again, working backwards, comes back and asks, well, what is Birkas HaTorah? So, Mai Mevarech. What is the bracha that you say? Omar of Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvaysav v'tzivanu la'asoik b'divrei Torah. He who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engage in divrei Torah. Now, this really, taken at this point, is what? Yeah, that's what we say. But meanwhile, that's all. That's the whole thing. It's a classic, what we call Birkas HaMitzvahs. Just like you make a bracha on any mitzvah, you make a bracha on Torah too, and that's exactly the text that this bracha follows. The Shana B'mitzvah Yisavet Zivano on this mitzvah, last like with Divrei Torah, to engage in Divrei Torah. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan Mesayim Bahochi. Rabbi Yochanan added more. Didn't end with that. Harevno Hashem Elokeinu. We're on Daf Yud Aleph from the base, about two-thirds down. Ha'arevna Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem, sweeten for us es divrei Torascha b'finu, the words of your Torah in our mouths, uvefifios amcha beis Yisrael, and the mouths of all of Klal Yisrael. V'niyeh anachnu v'tzatzoeinu, and let us and our offspring, the Tzatzoi Amcho Beis Yisrael, and the offspring of all the Jewish nation, Kulanu Yod'ei Shemecha, may we all know your name, the Oiske Terosecha, but we'll add Lishma. Right, that's how we know it said. You see that little circle there, that little funny circle there, he's noting that you should insert Lishma. That's how it appears in the Rif. And to engage in Torah for the right purpose. Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Hamelamed Torah L'Amo Yisrael, who teaches Torah to his nation Yisrael. Okay. So Yochanan is adding this. Yochanan is adding this. Well, la'asok b'divrei Torah is the commands that we're told to do. We're commanded la'asok b'divrei Torah, to engage in Torah. When we finish off the bracha, blessed are you Hashem who teaches Torah to his nation of Israel. Two different angles. Hashem teaches it and we engage in it. Both are expressed in this bracha. Rav Hamnuna Omar. Rav Hamnuna has a different verse, a different formula. Asher bocha bonu mikol ha'amim. He said, Baruch ata Hashem elokeinu melech ha'olam. Blessed are you Hashem, etc. Asher bocha bonu mikol ha'amim. Who chose us from all the nations. Ve'nosan lanu es teirasai. And granted us his Torah. Baruch ata Hashem noisein ha'Torah. Blessed are you Hashem who gives the Torah. Now, now we have, this is actually Machloikis. He's saying, this is the text of Birkas HaTorah. So, Omar Rav Hamnuna, I'm going to read this a little differently. Ve'hodir Rav Hamnuna, zui me'ula shebebrochus. Now this formula that Rav Hamnuna presented, this last one, is the greatest of all brochus. Because this is more than just a Birkas HaMitzvahs. It's more than even just, right, Rabbi Yochanan stressed the importance of this mitzvah by adding that whole request that Hashem can speak for us. But Rav Hamnuna is coming back and really giving the whole perspective on the Torah. The receiving of the Torah is what really is the whole story. That's what represents Hashem choosing us as a nation. And this bracha, as Rashi says, it includes everything. It includes praise of Hashem. It includes the praise of the Jewish people, that we're His chosen people. And it includes the praise of the Torah. We thank Hashem. We praise Hashem for giving us the Torah. So this bracha is what's that? Apparently he had this Kabbalah. So the truth is, this bracha actually encapsulates the three most fundamental principles of Torah. These 3 points are the three primary principles of Torah. Well, Yud Aleph Amud Beis, about 3/4 down. Yud Aleph Amud Beis, yeah. Sorry? Yud Aleph Amud Beis. 11b. Yeah. So, the three most fundamental principles of Torah, if you want to sum Torah up, what is Torah coming to convey? Three things. Hashem, right? Coming to tell you who Hashem is. Principle number two of the Torah is that the Jewish people are His chosen people. That's fundamental number two of the Torah. And fundamental number three of the Torah is the Jewish people's bond with Hashem is through Torah. All three are expressed in this bracha. Therefore, this bracha, the Gemara deems it the greatest of all brachas. Hilchach, so therefore, the Gemara concludes, Lemrino Likulu. Therefore, we say it all. We say all of them, everything discussed above. Why? The Rav explains. Well, really, Rav Hamnunez is the greatest of brachas. So that should suffice. But yet, first of all, there's a couple of points. Rav Hamnuna, his nusach doesn't quite cover the need of Birkat HaMitzvahs. Yes, Rav Hamnuna's bracha really comes and puts the whole thing into perspective in a concise, beautiful way. But at the end of the day, learning Torah is a mitzvah, which requires a Birkat HaMitzvahs, the bracha you say before performing a mitzvah. It's a different nature of a bracha. So therefore, we have to retain the first bracha too. Now, what about the middle bracha? Why do we have to retain that one too? If we say that Rav Hamnunez is the best, and we still need a Birkat HaMitzvahs, why do we need also the middle one? So, I'll start by giving a simpler answer, and then we'll get on to the next answer. But the Rav says that it's because of the criticality of succeeding in Torah, we can't drop that bracha either. It's so critical to request that help to connect to the Torah. So all three of these brachas are indispensable, he says. All three are indispensable. Rav Nuna puts it best. The first one, who was it? Rav Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, is Birkas HaMitzvahs. And Rav Yechanan's was that critical request that we should be zeicha to connect to it. We can't forego any of these, and therefore we say all three. Now, the truth is, it's a little more than that. Here we get on to another subject. How many brachas are here? Three. We seem to be saying three, but actually, Rabbi Yochanan's edition of the Har Ebna, it's a big machloikis in the poskim. Is it a separate bracha or is it the same bracha? Therefore, if you look in the different sidurim, some have a vav, right? Some, it's v'ha'arevna, which implies that it's a continuation. Rashi implies that, because Rashi says, why did Rabbi Yochanan add his addition? Because Rabbi Yochanan wanted the bracha to conclude with a formal ending, Baruch Atah Hashem. One long bracha. So Rabbi Yochanan is simply extending the bracha, he's not adding a bracha. He's simply extending the bracha. It's one long bracha. Therefore, you should say with the vav, v'ha'arevna.
If you're going by a
Masorah, have to be. Rabbi Yochanan had this Masorah. Rabbi Yochanan had the Masorah that it adds, it ends with the Baruch Atah Hashem. That it has that conclusion. What's that?
No one is innovating.
What's that?
No one is innovating.
Ostensibly not. Okay. So that's an approach taken, we might say, by most of the poskim, that this is really one bracha. However, the Rambam clearly presents this as two brachas, and he has it without the vav. There's no vav. Ha'arev no. It's a separate bracha. So this is a machloikis that basically carries over straight through halacha. The Beis Yosef recommends. He says, okay, we have this machloikis. For mice, it's a good idea to say it with the vav, because that's okay according to both opinions. According to the opinion that it's one bracha, if you say it without a vav, your mamash breaking it apart. According to the opinion that it's two brachas, it's okay if you start it with vav. So he says to add the vav. What's that? Oh, that's the big practical implication of this discussion. The big practical implication is when you hear these brachas being recited, do you answer Amen after the first? If it's one bracha, you obviously don't. If it's two brachas, you do. Lamaisa, the general consensus is that it's one bracha, and therefore, you do not answer Amen after the first bracha. A person saying it by heart, sorry, a person saying it out loud is recommended not to pause between the two. So it's not to necessitate, not to bring up the possibility that maybe you should say Amen. Just go straight into the second one. But Lamaisa, there is the opinion, which is held by very great authorities. We have the Rambam, the Arizal also corroborated that opinion, that it is two separate brachas. Okay, so Lamaisa, it's a machloikas. I have two clear opinions on the matter. Practically speaking, the general tendency of the poskim is to say that it's really just one bracha, and therefore you would not recite a main in between the two. Okay. Another element, it's just interesting to note that yes, our Gemara presented the term La'asoik b'divrei Torah, but that's not the Rambam's reading. The Rambam's reading is Al Divrei Torah. Asher k'dishanu b'mitzvaysav v'tzivanu Al Divrei Torah. Which again, if it's following the normal formula of a Birkas HaMitzvahs, it should be Al Divrei Torah. And the Abu Draham says that that's the better nusach, because Al Divrei Torah implies it's a bracha for learning Torah and also for performing Torah. We're just saying Al Torah in general. Not just lasik, which implies toil, which is learning Torah per se. Al Torah, it's a bracha. Al Divrei Torah, it's a bracha on learning and on performing. It's an all-inclusive bracha. The Beis Yosef says no, exactly the opposite. This is not a bracha on performing mitzvahs. Each mitzvah has its own bracha. This is a bracha on learning specifically, and therefore, the Maisa, we accept the version that's la'asik with the Beis Yosef. What's that? Don't know. Oh, it's there. For bracha, a mitzvah is there are other answers given. There are other answers given. We do make brachas on mitzvahs that don't have a shear. Constant mitzvahs we work out in other ways. This we discussed last time. That Chazal decided at which intervals the bracha should be recited, like the mitzvah of Sukkah, just goes on straight throughout Sukkot. But I don't know of such a klal, that something that doesn't have a shear wouldn't have a bracha. I don't know of such a klal. We're on daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, about three quarters down. Okay, now let's step back a little bit and just discuss what we've learned, because there are some very fundamental points that have to be brought out. First of all, the concept of Birkas HaTorah in general is something that requires a little bit of attention. Birkas HaTorah, the way the Shulchan Aruch presents it is, the Torah, it's on two Gemaras, where Chazal very strongly bring out the importance of Birkas HaTorah. One is a scary Gemara that says, Gemara Nedarim that says, when it's talking about the Churban, the Pasuk says, Mi'a isha chacham v'yoven et zois, v'asher diber pi Hashem elov, v'yagideo, amal av da'aretz. The Navi is expressing the question. People were wondering, why was it that the destruction transpired? Why did the destruction happen? So listen to this. Chazal say, this was asked of the Chachamim and of the Nevi'im and even of the angels, and they couldn't give the answer until Hashem himself provided the answer. What was that? Shenema, says in the Pasuk, Vayema Hashem al ozvam es Torasi, because they forsook my Torah that I gave to them, and they did not hearken to my voice, and they did not go in it, in the Torah. Now, Hainu loy shamu bekoyle, Hainu loy olchuba. The Gemara says, doesn't not listening to Hashem and not going in the ways of the Torah mean the same thing? So, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, loy ma'ashem mevorchem b'Torah tefila. No, the accusation leveled against them was that they did not make a bracha before learning Torah. They didn't say because of Torah. You hear that? That's why the Korban came about. You can ask that from plenty of other Gemaras, etc. But Chazal was saying that one of the primary accusations that brought about the Korban was they didn't make a bracha on Torah. Okay, has to be understood, but this is certainly one Gemara that already brings out how critical Birkas HaTorah is. And then there's another Gemara. Another Gemara says, why do we see so often that great Torah scholars, their children, don't follow in their ways? Their children don't turn into great Torah scholars. And the Gemara answers, because they don't make a bracha on Torah. So, we're getting an idea here that this is something very, very crucial. What's that? The fathers. Fathers. What's that? Yeah. That's why they're being accused of it. Why didn't they make the bracha? Yeah, that's the point. They had Birkas HaTorah and they didn't recite it. So that was the accusation leveled against them. Now this has to be understood because, first of all, what does that mean? There was this collective minig of not reciting Birkas HaTorah. Everybody knew that you're supposed to recite Birkas HaTorah, but they skipped it in shul. They said L'kai Neshama, and then they moved on to Nesem Masech Vivim. That's what was going on. What was so difficult to figure it out? Only Hashem knew that they weren't reciting the Birkas HaTorah. Any Navi who davened in Shul, any Chacham who davened in Shul could figure it out. Malachi Asheres could certainly figure it out. They were reciting Birkas HaTorah. And here is where we get to the meat of it. Rabbi Yehuda says, sure they were reciting the bracha on Torah, but what is a bracha? Bracha means a blessing on Torah. They said it, but they didn't bless Hashem for the Torah. Plenty of us say brachas without blessing Hashem. We rattle it off. A bracha is meant to express appreciation. Now, could be that they even said it with kavanah, but they did not feel enough appreciation for learning Torah, for the schus of learning Torah, for the opportunity of learning Torah. This is what Chazal meant, that they didn't make a bracha on Torah. Sure, they said the words, they even had kavana, but Hashem was saying there wasn't enough of an appreciation there. I wasn't being blessed as enthusiastically as I should have been. So this is what Birkas HaTorah is. The Maharal says Birkas HaTorah really is a gauge of love of Hashem. When you thank Hashem for food, you thank Hashem for a good roast, you don't have to love Hashem that much. You appreciate the roast. You love the roast. You make a bracha. But for a person to really, it's in Birkas HaTorah where a person really expresses his love for Hashem. That's where a person's level of love for Hashem is tested. How enthusiastic is your Birkas HaTorah? If you got to do what you got to do, okay? Your level is wanting.
Why is that not expressed in the learning of the Torah itself?
What's that?
You have better things to do with your time.
They loved learning. We'll see. They loved learning. But yet they didn't appreciate what it really is. We're talking about Talmid HaChachamim, right? On the contrary, we're talking about Talmid HaChachamim. Big Torah scholars. They loved learning. They were very involved in learning. Yet, they didn't properly appreciate it. What does this mean? So the Maharal adds a bit more. He says, there are people who love learning because they get attached to it. But yet, they don't really appreciate its essence. They're not viewing it as a means of connecting to Hashem. And many times people ask the question, Torah is meant to perfect a person. Why don't we see that? How can we see people who learn Torah and yet, right, is what to be desired? And the answer is this. This is the answer. The Maharal has a long exposition on this. But I'm afraid that if he would have put it out in our times, I don't know what would have happened to him. But a long exposition saying how, yes, they like Torah. They enjoy the intellectual challenge. They enjoy the gratification they feel. But they aren't, it's not for them, it doesn't mean to them Hashem. It's not a means of bonding with Hashem. Or not enough of a means of bonding with Hashem. They don't appreciate enough what the zchus is. They might like it, they might enjoy it. And they might even say Birkas HaTorah with Kavana. But it's Hashem is saying, not enough. This is what Birkas HaTorah is meant to express. So now what I want to do now is, it's usually when you're learning Pleiskim, when you're learning Halacha, you're learning Musa, you're learning Musa. When you learn Halacha, you learn Halacha. Usually Pleiskim is cold and analytical, right? But here, in the subject of Birkas HaTorah, all the Pleiskim simply, they go out of their minds. Right? They all launch into these long expositions on the importance of it. So what I want to do now is just one sample of what the Pleiskim are doing here. What's going on in the Pleiskim and Birkas HaTorah. I want to actually learn a Bach together with the Oilam. So, okay, I didn't make enough copies. But maybe share it with your neighbors. And if you don't follow inside, it'll be fine also. Okay, it'll be fine without following inside. Here. No, Bach on the tour. Maybe we do have another. Let's see. If you can't follow, you'll be fine. Don't worry about it. It's not. But let's see the Bach. He's also going to ask this question. Start from the top. You see the Bach? From the top line, the Ikel Itmoya. Okay? There's another one, if anybody else. There's another one. The Ikel Itmoya Tuba. It's room to wonder. Lama yotza kazois milfana. Why did such a terrible decree come about? La'anisham ba'oynesh godol v'ram kaze. To punish them in such a terrible way. Al shaloi berchu b'tayra t'chila. For not having recited Birkas HaTorah beforehand. You'll be fine without it. Shehu lichoyra v'ra kala. Skipping a bracha seems to be a lightweight Avera. Venire. I believe the Kavanosa Yisborach Me'olam Hoysa. That Hashem's original intention was Shenye Oiskim Batera, that we should engage in Torah, Kedesha Tis Atseim Nishmosenu, so that we empower our Nishamas. We empower our neshamas, we're charging our neshamas through the essence and the spirituality and the kedusha of where the Torah originates from. Where does the Torah originate from? It's Hashem. The Torah is Hashem himself. So the point of Torah is, the point of the mitzvah of learning Torah is, it's not because there are mitzvahs you gotta do. So, here's the manual. See how to do them. Learning Torah is our means of connecting with that absolute charge. You're plugging into a massive charge. High voltage. That's what we're meant to do. To plug in to Hashem himself. I'm gonna insert here something that the Leshem says in order to understand this. Again, on a very, very superficial level, soon the Bach will actually say that that's a very wrong understanding of what Torah is. There are things you got to do. The Torah tells you what? Right? The purpose of the Torah is just so you should know. Oh no, that piece of meat, if it's categorized as pork, it's not for you. The place you see that is in the Torah. No. The Torah is much, much, much deeper than that. The Torah actually represents Hashem's mindset to the Yom. The way the Leshem puts it is as follows. Leshem says, he has a whole exposition discussing where is Hashem. Okay, we've already discussed. Hashem is everywhere. But yet, Hashem manifests His presence in more places, more than in some places more than others. So the Leshem is a whole exposition discussing the different places where Hashem's presence manifests, which means that Hashem is easier to access there. You can, the tefillahs work better there. You can connect to Hashem there. So he says, one of the places where Hashem manifests is in His will. What does this mean? This is something very deep. Somebody's will, usually, will is not a tangible thing. Will is completely abstract. Right? My desire. Where is your desire? Can you pass it to me? Desire is not a thing. Right? Desire is not an entity. With Hashem, it's not like that. His will is actually a reality. It's an entity that exists. It's there in the world. And Hashem is in His will. Hashem is represented in His will. And therefore, you connect to Hashem by connecting to His will. When a person learns Torah, what is he doing? He's bringing Hashem's will into his mind. What does that mean? He's bringing Hashem into his mind. This person has plugged into Hashem, or plugged Hashem into him. And now this person has Hashem, how do you say, with an electric current. He now has that current going through him. He's now a what's that? Yeah, he's godly. He's a receptacle of God. That's what he is. It's like, right, there's a lot of electricity in the air. You plug something in, you tap into it. A conductor. Oh, that's it. He's a conductor of Hashem. He has that current in him. This was the purpose of giving the Torah. Now, V'lochei nosar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah Semes LYisrael. This is why Hashem gave the true Torah to the Jewish people, b'matana, as a gift, sheloi tishtakach meitan, so that we should never forget it, kedei shetisdabek nishmaseinu v'gufeinu, so that we attach our nishamas and our bodies, meaning you bring this to the ultimate level and you actually perform it, then you are a living will of Hashem. When you go about doing a mitzvah, what are you doing? You are living the will of Hashem. You become simply a vehicle of Hashem's will, which really means a vehicle of Hashem. So the point is to attach our neshamas and bodies b'ramach evarim u'shesa gidim, with the 248 limbs and 365 tendons, both the physical and the spiritual ones. Right, we know that all of our limbs correspond to spiritual limbs of our neshama. We connect all those to the 248 mitzvahs aseh and 365 mitzvahs lo yisaseh. Now we have fully connected to the full picture of godliness that are in the Torah. Now, v'imhoyu oiskim b'Torah al hakavana hazos, and if people were learning Torah for this purpose, Hayuhema Merkava, what we just said, a conductor, they would be a chariot, Vehechal Lishchinosa Yisbarach. Each person's body, each person would be a sanctuary for the Shechina. Shaisa Shechina Mamish Bikirba. The Shechina would reside, we know that the Shechina came to rest in the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechina would come to rest in each Jew. With each additional mitzvah of Torah that you learn, it's like, you know, one of these technological gadgets. I don't know, the more things you plug in, the more kinds of connections you have, right? When you connect, I don't know, it's a good example. A computer, right? You can plug in the audio thing, and then the video thing, and then the color thing, right? With each mitzvah, you're plugging into more and more and more and more. You get more and more of the full spectrum of godliness. And when you have all of it, you have the full thing. You are a full-fledged conductor of godliness in this world. Now, Kehechal Hashem Heim, because they are actually the Echal of Hashem. The truth is, no concept of Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash, that Hashem comes and fills it with His presence, is really just a mashal for what the Jew is supposed to be. Obekir b'mamish ha'isa shechina koivas dirasa. In each Jew, the Shechina would establish its resting place. Each Jew would be a walking Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem's glory would shine all throughout the world. Each person is a conduit, is a channel of Hashem to shine through him into the world. Each person is bringing Hashem into the physical world. The Shekhinah would shine through the Jews and would shine the entire world. And then the hosts of the upper world and the hosts of the lower world, that's us, would all just merge together, would be one unity. Would all just be one unity. There wouldn't be a split between the spiritual and physical worlds. We would draw it down into us, down onto this earth. Aval ata, but now, sha'avru chayze, that they transgressed this concept. Shalai asku b'tayra, they engaged in tayra, kim letzerich hadvarim hagashmim, lahana asa. It's the first wide line. For material benefits. Listen to this. Leida hadinim litzerach masa umatan. What does he call transgressing this idea and engaging in Torah for material benefits? In order to know how to conduct your business halachically. You hear that? A person's... What's that? Yeah. This is righteous. A person is learning Torah, so you should know what he needs to do. That's called missing the point. That is a fringe element of Torah. That's important. Of course you gotta do that. But you've missed the point. That's a fringe point. That's a side point of Torah. Of course. Now you have to bring it into practice also. But that's not the main point. That is calling engaging in Torah for material benefit. Or, in order to show off that now you're very wise. You know a lot. They did not intend to charge themselves and to attach b'kedushas v'ruchnias haTorah to the great kedusha and spirituality of Torah, u'lahamshich hashchina lemata ba'aretz, and to draw the Shekhinah into this world through them. Each person can be a conductor, a conduit of bringing the Shekhinah's light into this world. The Shekhinah can shine through me. Which will automatically cause their neshama to be on a very great madrega after they die. Your neshama is being intensified and intensified through this process. And you're turning it into a very, very great thing. Through not doing this, their point wasn't simply to connect to everything the Torah is. Their point was just to utilize the Torah as relevant to this world. They detach the Torah from its real source. Therefore, since he says the Churban was an automatic result, the whole point of the Beis Hamikdash was that the Shekhinah comes down into this world. The point of that is for us to be drawing the Shekhinah into this world through us by studying Torah. By not doing this, the Shekhinah was left hovering. The Shekhinah doesn't hover for very long. If it's not brought down, it departs. It floats up. It's like a helium balloon, right? You let go, you're not pulling it in. It goes up. That's simply what happened. The Shekhinah was hovering, waiting for us to draw it into ourselves. How do you anchor it in you through Torah? You didn't do that, it wasn't anchored. You ever see a boat that's not anchored? A boat that's not anchored floats away. That's what happened. The Shekhinah simply went up, and the world stayed in its physical state. That Kedusha wasn't brought into it. The Li Kedusha, without that Kedusha, and this is what caused the destruction and the great loss. Okay. Alright, let's continue. And this is what they meant when they said, who's the wise man who can explain this? Ama of the Aretz, why did the land go lost? And Hashem said, because they forsook my Torah, Asher nasati lifnehem, that I placed before them. Omar, now he stressed, Torah si. They didn't forsake Torah. but they forsook my Torah, meaning they forsook the Hashem in the Torah. Torah was a means of getting through life, but you're meant to be drawing in the Hashem in the Torah. Teas emes asher nasati b'matana shoyu lemeidim v'sheichachim. No, they were supposed to connect to me through that Torah. That's really what the Torah is all about. Not just to learn it, utilize what you need to know, and then forget it. To connect to Torah intrinsically. And I made a point of spoon-feeding it all to them. I explained it all to them. They should come and drink that up. Hashem is coming and saying, this is the Torah. I, Mamish, presented all this before them. They just had to drink it down. I served it to them like Shulchan Aruch, like a set table. Like Chazal said, Hashem said, these are the statutes that you should place before them. Mean Hashem wants to spoon feed the Jewish people. Just swallow it, drink it in. The kavanasi, and my point was, Hashem says, she is kashu be'etzem kedushas terasi teras emes, that they should connect to the true essence of Torah. Vashchina teisher bekirbam, and the Shechina will rest inside them. Veheima ozvus terasoi veloy holchuba, and they forsook my Torah. They did not traverse my Torah. What does that mean? So he says as follows. Perush. Tchilas ha'alicha beruchni is ha'Torah mimadrega l'madrega. The point is that you learn in Torah in order to ascend upwards and upwards. The more you're learning in Torah, the more you're connecting yourself on higher and higher and higher. Or in other words, making that connection between the lower worlds. You begin learning, it's higher, 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 until your mamash connecting to the highest of places and drawing that all into yourself. In order to plug their neshama in to the essence of Torah. So, loyholchuba, they did not traverse the Torah, meaning, dahainu loyholchuba lishma, they didn't go in the Torah for this sake. They didn't approach Torah when they were starting to learn Torah, it wasn't for this purpose. Now, the point is that yes, before learning Torah, you thank Hashem, and you praise Him, you bless Him. For giving Torah to His nation, Israel. So that they can actually connect to the Shekhinah. So the point is, the point of Birkas HaTorah is to express our appreciation for the real opportunity that Hashem is giving us in the Torah. It's not an ordinary Birkas HaMitzvot. And that's the point. Sure, they made the bracha. But the point was, they should have been going wild with enthusiasm over the opportunity that the Torah presents to them. And they weren't. Or it wasn't, at least. The truth is, a human being, as long as he's in this world, cannot comprehend what Torah really is. But it should have been a greater level of appreciation. They weren't in this place. They were learning Torah for material purposes. Absolutely. Everything is relative. Besides, not necessarily. It could mean that there was too much of this. What is Lishma? So you're back now into a fundamental question is, what does learning Torah Lishma mean? Okay. Alright, we're basically finished for our purposes. And yeah, the truth is, after this whole description, we should step back for a moment and address what Jonathan is asking. What does Lishma mean? Here, Bach seems to be telling us what learning Torah for the right sake means.
The Rav is emphasizing gratitude.
What's that?
The Rav is emphasizing gratitude, not Lishma.
What is Lishma? Lishma means learning Torah for the right purpose. What's the right purpose? In order to connect with Hashem. If you really appreciate that that's what Torah is, that should be something that you express a lot of gratitude for. So let's step back for a minute, and yes, take a moment out, especially since we're seeing that stressed here. We're asking Hashem to help us learn Torah Lishma. What does learning Torah Lishma mean? Chazal make a big deal about that, that the comparison between learning Torah Lishma for the right sake and learning Torah Shalei Lishma for the wrong sake is immeasurable. So what is Lishma? The truth is that really there is a certain machloikis about what Lishma means. But really, in a sense, it's an issue of semantics. Meaning, if I'll put it in a general way, what Lishma means, we can generally say that there are basically three opinions on what Lishma means. What it means to learn Torah for the truth's sake, for its sake. There's the approach of the generally a widely understood approach, which is something that the Bach seems to throw in the garbage here, is learning Torah in order to fulfill it. Bach says that that's a side point, that's mamish peripheral. If that's your whole purpose of learning Torah, you're missing the point. But that's one understanding. The Shulchan Aruch Harav, for example, says that. The Reishis Chachma says that. That's Torah Lishma. Learning in order to fulfill, for the purpose of fulfilling. Then there's the Volozhin approach, Chaim Volozhiner's approach. Learning Torah means learning Torah for the sake of Torah. Meaning what? Learning Torah because you want to know Torah. Because you want to understand Torah. Learning Torah for its own sake. That's what you're referring to. That's Reb Chaim Volozhin. Okay? That's another definition of Lishma. The third definition of Lishma means what people might naturally guess, as the Ramchal says and others, for Hashem's sake. For the purpose of pleasing Hashem. At first glance, these seem to be three different approaches. Right? Lishma means in order to fulfill. Lishma means in order to know Torah. Learning Torah for what? For Torah. Or Lishma means in order to please Hashem or connect to Hashem. But the truth? What's that? That's true. I smuggled it in. Right. Right. To please Hashem or to connect to Hashem. Okay, we'll turn it into four. Alright? But the truth is on the contrary, it's all really just one. The point is as follows. The point is, we learn Torah because we appreciate what the essence of Torah is. The essence of Torah is everything that the Bach just described. And this is not the Bach. This is basically everybody. This is Maral. This is what the concept of Torah is. The concept of Torah is turning yourself into a vehicle of God. That's what learning Torah is. So now, when we say that you're learning Torah in order to fulfill it, let's just ask a simple question. So does this mean that there's no such thing as learning Hilchas Taras Lishma? Halachas that are not relevant. Kanchin, Karbanis. Does that mean that there's no such thing as learning that Lishma? So if you spend, in Daf Yomi, if you spend a year and a half breaking your head over Kachin, not Lishma? Okay, so an easy way out of that is for future times. What's that?
You hope it could be any day.
Okay, you hope it could be any day. Oh, but yet.
You're doing it because you want to
hear it. Oh, okay. No, so the truth is. Oh, okay. So now, the truth is. What's that? Hilchas Malachim, right. Well, people learn halachas that are not relevant. The person learns Yevamos, okay? Yevamos, a very tough mesechta, 120 daf. If you're doing it in Daf Yomi at top speed, it takes 4 months. Right? You can spend who knows how long on that. That's a mesechta that we hope won't be relevant. It's not relevant to most people, not Lishma. So what are you learning it just in case it does become relevant? What if you already have a lot of children? What if all your siblings have a lot of children? So what are you learning Yevamos for? So the answer is, and this is the Reishis Chachma himself. The Reishis Chachma says Lishma means learning Torah in order to fulfill it. And then later he says, "Oh, and what about all those other things, Zrayim, etc.?" He says, "Well, learning Torah, when you have the parts of Torah that you can't fulfill, you fulfill it by learning it. Right? This is the famous concept the Chazal say. Right? By learning the halachas of a karban, it's as though you fulfilled it. So now we've kind of turned things backwards." The whole purpose of learning is for the purpose of fulfilling. What about the things that you can't fulfill? By learning them, you're fulfilling them. What's the purpose? The whole point is to fulfill. So how are we saying, well, you fulfill the fulfilling part by just learning it. The point here is, when we talk about learning Torah in order to fulfill it, what it means is, the point that we're saying here, to live Torah. To live Torah means, I have the Torah mindset. Torah mindset really is, it means connecting to Hashem's mindset. That's what Avizdor Avnosin says. Why is Torah the greatest of mitzvahs? Because every mitzvah is an isolated mitzvah. Whereas with Torah, you develop, it says, Adam Yedea Datei Shel Mokem. A person, Kaviyachol, develops the Hashem mentality. A person is a seichel. You are your personality. By learning Torah and developing the whole Torah's thought process, the whole Torah's, the whole system, you are turning your personality into Torah. You become live Torah, and that really means you become a live representation of Hashem in this world. Now, of course, Yeshu Koyach, of course, the end of this all is putting it into practice. If it stops before it's put into practice, it's all nothing. But what's the point of the practice? The Maharal spells this out, and many others also. What's the point of the practice? The point of the practice is to complete the picture, right? You turned your personality into Torah, and you also play it out. So it's not that, no, you're learning Torah in order to know exactly how you should eat your fish on Shabbos. You're learning Torah, you're connecting to Hashem's mentality, and that those halachas of eating fish on Shabbos represent much deeper things. And by actually eating your fish in the right way on Shabbos without picking out the bones, you are manifesting Torah. The point is not just that you're fulfilling what you need to fulfill. You're manifesting Torah. This world simply turns into a stage upon which the Torah is played out. So therefore, when we talk about learning in order to fulfill, what it really means is learning in order to live it. I want to be an entity of Torah. That's what it means. I want to be an entity of Torah in mind and in deed. Every area of life, it should go all the way from seichel to through speech through deed. That's the idea. Now, what about Reb Chaim Volozhiner? Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, no, lishma means learning Torah in order to know Torah. Now, what on earth does that mean? What does that mean? So, if you analyze Reb Chaim Volozhiner carefully, people often come and say, Chaim Volozhiner has a long exposition on this, by the way, and it's very important to have the right perspective on this, because people make a big mistake about it. Reb Chaim Volozhiner begins his discussion of Torah by debunking what was then a widespread understanding of what Lishma means. Now, Lishma means you're learning Torah in order to connect to Hashem, which seems to be what we're discussing now, which means that while you're learning Torah, you should be thinking of Hashem the whole time. Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, no, that's not what Lishma means. When you're busy learning Bava Metzia and you're trying to figure out what kind of claims a liar can make, if you're going to be thinking about Hashem, then you're not going to be able to figure out the Gemara. Gemaras are complicated. You have to break your head over it. You can't think about Hashem while you do that. You have to put all your mind into it, all your mental capabilities. And therefore, he says, learning Torah, the Shema means learning Torah in order to know Torah. So therefore, people come along and say, oh, so Reb Chaim Volozhiner holds that the idea of Torah is not to make us for Hashem. It's not in order to attach to Hashem. But that's a big mistake. Anybody who actually goes and analyzes it carefully sees that what Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, he prefaces by saying, of course, the purpose of Torah is to connect to Hashem. But if you're going to be thinking of that the whole time, you're never going to do it. Because in order to really engage in Torah, you have to clear your mind. On the contrary, Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, before starting to learn, sit down and think. Think thoughts of tshuva. Purify yourself. Think, I am about to go engage Hashem. I'm about to connect to Hashem in the greatest of ways. Then open the sefer, clear your mind, and throw yourself into it. But of course he also agrees that that's the purpose of learning Torah. He's just saying, the way you go about it is not by thinking about Hashem, because that conflicts with actually learning. The mashal is like this. A person, you have a person who's building a building, right? So he has a picture of a big magnificent edifice that he wants to build. Okay, now you gotta get down to it. He has his instruction manual. He's been through a full day of building. What did he achieve? He achieved, he made a hole in the ground. Dirty, comes away dirty, disgusting. He looks at the hole and he says, where's the edifice? Don't, 1 minute. Doesn't work that way. You need a lot of time of getting dirty and a lot of hard work before you see the edifice. So what happens if you tell the person, okay, next step is pour cement. 1 minute, he looks at his picture of the edifice and he says, how's pouring to cement going to, it's not going to create this. That's right. It's a whole process that you have to go through in order to get there. So sure, Torah connects you to Hashem. But that doesn't mean that you have to be thinking that that should be your focus while you're doing it, because that's not Torah. That's thinking about connecting to Hashem. That's like the guy who's just dreaming about the edifice instead of actually going and building it. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner also agrees. This is explicit. This is not my chiddush. If you actually just read what he says, of course Reb Chaim Volozhiner agrees that the whole purpose of Torah, and he describes it at great length there, is for the purpose of connecting to Hashem. That's, everybody agrees with that. Just the question is, how do you go about it? So at the end of the day, what is Torah? The essence of Torah is bringing the Shekhinah into you and living it, playing out the Shekhinah's values. That's what the essence of Torah is. That's what Lishma is. You're doing it for this purpose, because I want to connect with Hashem, and I'm wild with enthusiasm and with appreciation over the fact that Hashem is granting me such an opportunity. And this is what's meant to be expressed in Birkas HaTorah. Okay, there's still more to discuss on the Nusach of Birkas HaTorah, but I guess it's going to have to wait for Thursday.